Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, tonight what I want to do is I want to talk to you about the peace of God, and I've titled our thoughts, Let Peace Rule. There are all kinds of things that can steal the believer's peace if we let it. You can have relational tension where you have a friend you're not getting along with, robs you of your peace. You have a husband, a wife, a family member, a son, a daughter, a mom, a dad. Maybe it's a coworker, and all of a sudden peace goes out the window. Sometimes what robs people's peace is financial tension. There's just more in bills in the month than there is money to cover the bills. Sometimes it's physical. There's stress physically, or it could be fatigue, and all of a sudden peace goes out the window, or anxiety. Sometimes it's not knowing the future and concern about the future and the way the future is going to work out can cause people to lose their peace. Sometimes, honestly, it's sin. I mean, where people have allowed sin in their life, and where there was peace, now all of a sudden there isn't peace. Because there's no rest or no peace, the Bible says in Isaiah, for the wicked. That when a person tolerates sin in their life, peace is absent. Most people would like peace. But honestly, a lot of believers view peace as something that kind of comes and goes depending on circumstances. But the fact of the matter is that God wants you and I. Peace is very valuable. And as we're going to see, peace is more than something that's passive in the believer's life. And God wants his people to know peace. He wants us to live in peace. He wants us to be rooted in peace. And he wants us to be agents of peace. Very, very interesting. How many times in the New Testament it talks about peace? The words mentioned in the ESV, 94 times in the New Testament. So peace is something that's important. In fact, God identifies himself as the God of peace. At least 5 times, he is the God of peace. And peace is one of the hallmarks of his kingdom. That the kingdom of God, Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. What does God want you and I to experience continually? His righteousness, his peace, and his joy. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." So the idea is that there would be joy, that God would place in you joy, and that God would place in our hearts peace relative, watch this, to faith. That the things we're believing God for wouldn't make us anxious, they'd make us happy. They wouldn't make us anxious, but actually there'd be a peace about them so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So how important is peace if you and I don't have that? Hope becomes difficult, if not impossible. And what is hope? Hope is anticipating God's goodness in our life. Some people are so unsettled about the future, about God's goodness or God's working in their life or what they don't see him doing, that they can't even find themselves in a place where they can anticipate God's goodness in their life because they lack peace. Peace is something you and I are to pursue. Listen to this, 2 Timothy 2:22. So flee youthful passions and pursue. Here's what we're to pursue. Righteousness. So he has made us righteous through what Jesus did on the cross, but we need to live out that righteousness in our lives. And you're never going to live righteously if you are passive about it. You have to pursue righteousness, pursue faith, pursue love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So when we're talking about peace, let me give you just a little definition so we're all on the same page. Peace really is, in the Old Testament, it's the word shalom. And shalom is a very comprehensive thing. It's the state of prospering in your life, relationally, spiritually, emotionally, and economically. So when a Jewish person says shalom, which is a common greeting in the land of Israel, what they're saying is, may you prosper relationally, spiritually, emotionally, and financially. When we give the blessing at the end of the service and we say, may the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace, what we're saying is, may God work in your way. Favor is God's preferential treatment, his excessive kindness. I mean, it's really powerful. Think about it. May God show you preferential treatment, excessive kindness, and may he give you a prospering in your life relationally, spiritually, emotionally, economically. That's like massive. That's a huge thing that God desires in our life. And when we have that, what happens is when we have God working his peace in our life, it brings about a calmness in his presence and an experience of just his calm in our heart and in our life. Now, if that is a backdrop, I want us to look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. And let the peace of Christ, this is Paul writing, he's writing to the Colossians, and in chapter 12 he's saying, you know, you're a new person, so clothe yourself with certain things, and he's given some instructions to the believers, and he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And what I want to do is I want to give you some things about peace. The first thing I want you to notice about peace is this, that God's peace is active. And let the peace of Christ rule. So let it reign. Let it be in charge. Let it be working in your life. We have a tendency to think of peace as passive. So we think, okay, you know, I'm feeling peace. We have a tendency to view it as a feeling. We have a tendency to view it as coming and going. And we have a tendency to think of it as a byproduct. Everybody's getting along, so now we have peace. Well, I'm in a good season in my life, so now I have peace. But peace is not just a state of being. Peace is a spiritually active force, and it actively works in the life of the believer. So, for example, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, and the verse prior to this is, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. So when you and I are praying, and Paul says, don't get anxious about it, don't get worried about it, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. So you're asking God, you're petitioning God, you're asking God for things. Then it says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. In other words, it's saying it's better to have God's peace than it is to understand what God is doing. Because sometimes people say, if I could just figure out what God's doing, then I'd have peace. And no, peace is better than that. Peace is separate from that. You don't have to know what God is doing to walk in God's peace. If you've prayed and you've asked God, then what happens is peace can be at work in your heart. And watch what it does. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that word guard, it's the idea of a sentry out up on the city walls, keeping guard, keeping the city safe. So if your mind is the city, if your life is the city, then its peace is a garrison around your heart. It's a garrison around your mind. It's actively protecting you. And Paul tells us peace rules. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Literally, it's the word we get our word umpire from. So let peace be the referee. Let peace be the umpire. So just like in our day, you've got the umpire and he's calling the runner out or he's calling the runner safe. And it doesn't matter what you thought. It doesn't matter what the announcer thinks. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. What the umpire says, that's the way it's going to go, right? And if there's somebody in the stands and they're being crazy about it and obnoxious about it, and the umpire says, I want you watching the game anymore, guess what? They're not going to be watching the game, right? Why? Because the umpire rules. The umpire is in charge. The umpire actively enforces his will, and he's the one who makes the determination. So, peace is the umpire. Now, that being said, God's peace is the path to his best for our lives. His peace is the path to the best for our lives. So, if we take the idea, and if you've been around me very often, people ask me at times, they'll say, how do I know God's will? And one of the things I'll invariably say, and it's one of the Lindalisms that if you're at James River for very long, that you'll hear me say, peace is the umpire when it comes to the will of God. So peace is the umpire, number one, when it comes to the will of God. If you're thinking, if you're praying about something, you're saying, I just don't know whether I should or shouldn't, then I would say this, no matter how good it looks or how bad it looks, peace is the umpire when it comes to the will of God. If you don't feel a peace, don't do it. You say, but I'm going to make a bunch of money. Don't do it. You say, but this is going to advance my career. Don't do it. You say, but I think we can afford that house. Don't do it. But I really like that person. And I'm in this deep. I need to go ahead and marry this. Don't do it. You don't have peace. Don't do it. I mean, peace is the umpire when it comes to the will of God. So always, after you've sought advice, after you've sought counsel, after you've, you know, made your list and said, you know, and I think all those things are part of wisdom, but in the bottom line, when it's all said and done, and you're going before the Lord, and you're saying, God, I need you to show me what to do. If you don't feel a peace in your heart, don't do it. Peace is the umpire when it comes to the will of God. Let me say this as well. Peace is the umpire when it comes to the family of God. Peace is the umpire when it comes to the family of God. Are you committed? Let me ask you this. Are you committed to peace in God's family? Are you committed to peace? I'm not talking about sacrificing principles that are hills you would die on. But let me just say this. There's very few hills we ought to be dying on. I think we have a tendency to be willing to die for our preferences, and we think our preferences are our principles, and they ought not to be. There are some things that we say, you know what, you know, you say like what? Well, there is salvation in no other name given among men. Jesus is the only name by which we can be saved. That's a hill you die on. You know, that's that the Bible is the inspired word of God. That is a hill you die on. But there's a whole lot of other things that you just say, you know what? I'm not sure I'm there. I'm not sure I agree totally with that, with this or that. And we can go down a big, long list. And you know what? Listen, the bottom line is there's room in the kingdom for people to have a difference of opinion, right? And peace is the umpire when it comes to the family of God. We've got to be committed to peace. One of the great examples in Scripture is the story of Abram and Lot. I call him Abram because it's before God's changed his name. But look at this in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 5. Here's Abram. God has given him a promise. God has blessed him. And Lot, his nephew's tagging along for the ride. And because Abram is being blessed, Lot is being blessed. Do you realize that when you're being blessed, the blessing of God spills off of you onto people around you? Listen, if I'm being blessed, then my family's going to be blessed. If I'm being blessed, my friends are going to be blessed. You know, when you're being blessed, what happens is there's a grace on your life that touches in a positive way the people around you, right? So here's Abram, and he was rich. And Lot, who was traveling with him, was also rich in sheep and cattle and tents, but the land couldn't support both of them. They had too many possessions, and they couldn't both live there. Quarrels broke out between Abram's shepherds and Lot's shepherds. The Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. You say, what does that have to do with anything? Well, the fact of the matter is, if Abram and Lot are quarreling and fighting one another, the Canaanites and the Perizzites are gonna take them out. So you don't want to be... You don't want to be dividing yourself when you got enemies around you. You know, here's the way you'd put it in the church. Some churches are so busy fighting themselves, they can't ever fight the devil. And I think we have to be careful that we don't find ourselves so busy fighting within one another or getting all upset over things that are preferences that we get our eyes off the greater good that God is doing. I mean, I've seen churches that let nickel arguments ruin $1 million church. Don't do that. Here's Abram, and he says, let's not have fighting between us. That doesn't make any sense between your shepherds and my shepherds. After all, we're family. Sometimes I think what we have to do is we have to get a hold of ourselves, and we have to say, hey, listen, it's not who's in the right, who's in the wrong, and it's my right. And if anybody has the right to have it their way, it's Abram, and God's given him the whole land. He didn't give it to Lot. Abram could have said, you know what, Lot, let me tell you a little story. God appeared to me, the God of glory appeared to me, and he said he's given me all the land. So guess what? You got to get out of here. God gave it to me. It's mine. He said it. If you don't like it, take it up with him. But in the meantime, see you later. But that's not what he does. Watch what he does. Look around. Isn't there plenty of land out there? Let's separate. If you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I'll go left. In other words, he's saying, Lot, you choose where you want to go, and when you go one direction, I'll go the other. In other words, in honor, he's preferring Lot above himself. Why? Because he wants peace. Because peace benefits both he and Lot. Peace keeps them from being attacked by the enemy. You know, there's a lot of things that can go on in a home, that can go on in a family, that can go on in the family of God. And people can say things or do things, and we can be bothered by it. But what we have to determine is we're going to purpose to be at peace, because if we're at peace, that's going to continue unity, and unity is going to be the atmosphere in which God can work. And when you lose unity, then the anointing goes right out the window. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. God, what he's saying is, God has called you, and what you have to understand, and we're very, in our Western world, and especially in our American processing of Christianity, we are very individualistic, and that's unbiblical. We see our relationship with God as between God and us and nobody else. You know, as long as I'm good with God and I've got it going with God, then it really, what everybody else, that's kind of like, if it's good, it's great. If it's not good, well, that's too bad. But that's unbiblical. Because God's calling of people is both individual and corporate. He's calling individuals, but he's calling a church. He's calling a gathering. He's calling a body. He's calling a group. It's not just you and God, but it's you and God and every believer around you. That's why we take communion. When we hold the communion in our hand, what we're acknowledging is we're not only acknowledging Jesus' body, but we're acknowledging that we're all part of his body, and we each hold a piece of the loaf. The loaf is Christ, and we each hold a piece of the bread, symbolizing that not, no one of us is the loaf. We need one another. We're interconnected to one another. So it's not just you and God, but it's you and God and everybody else around you. And if you don't have peace with them, you don't have peace with God. And you won't experience peace in your heart. So the reason why sometimes people don't have peace in their heart is they're not right with people in the body of Christ. So if you say, man, I just don't have peace, then I think one of the questions you have to ask is have I, number one, have I violated the peace of God relative to the will of God in my life? Because if you have, you're not going to have peace. If you said this, you know what, I know it's not God's will, but I'm just going to go do it anyway, and then you're hoping to have peace, forget it. Or if you say, you know what, I don't like that person, and I don't like that person, and I don't agree with that person, and I don't like, and that's where you're living, and you're not at peace with people around you, it's gonna be very difficult to have peace with God. Peace is the umpire when it comes to the family of God. Third, peace is the umpire when it comes to our walk with God. It's, you know, how's your walk with God? If you can't rest in his presence, if you're restless in his presence, something's wrong. If you're restless in his presence, then something's not right, either relative to your trusting in him, relative to your waiting on him, relative to your walking with him. You know, maybe there's things that sometimes I've watched people that at times have neglected their time with the Lord. Consequently, they don't know the peace of the Lord. And so when they'll spend time with the Lord, they'll find they recover peace with the Lord. Do you follow what I'm saying? Or there's people, you know, sometimes it's a matter of going back and retracing, where did the peace go? So it's a dangerous thing. I would suggest to you it's a dangerous thing for a Christian to make decisions that forfeit peace and to become comfortable with it, because what happens is over time you can forget when you made that decision and how that started in your life, and all of a sudden you don't have peace and you can't figure out why. It's almost, if you will, a suppression of a person's conscience and God's working through that conscience to keep us lined up with his will for our life, both in terms of the direction of our life, but more importantly, the growth in him in our life, the righteousness that we have in him. So maybe there's things you've said, maybe there's things you've done, maybe there's attitudes you've allowed, and I'm going to ask musicians to come right now, but it's worked against peace in your heart. And here's the thing, God wants everybody to have peace. If you don't have his peace ruling, then I would suggest, here's the danger. If you don't have his peace ruling in your heart, it's going to be very difficult for you to discern his leading in your life. This is really, I mean, the peace of God. When you have his peace, it helps you to discern his will. It helps you to wait in his presence. And it helps you to rest in the difficult circumstances of life. Because when you have that peace is active, that peace is guarding you, that peace is guiding you, that peace is giving you grace to be with Him, to walk with Him, to know Him. And God's desire is for you and I to have peace. I love that verse in Isaiah 26 and verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Such a great verse. And when you have that peace, it's active. Let the peace of Christ rule in your life. Let God's peace rule in your life. So I want to ask you tonight, how's your soul? How are you doing? Do you sense the peace of the Lord? Sometimes what people feel is they feel the peace of God around them. They just don't feel the peace of God in them. And that's the one thing I love about the prayer meeting. It's a time to really work through some of those things and to get ourselves in a place where we're resting in His presence, where we're waiting on the Lord, where we're recalibrating the compass of our life so that we leave here with an increased sensitivity. Listen, if there are things relative to the body of Christ and you've got grievances with somebody, man, let it go. Make it right. If there's things that you're like, I don't like this, I don't like that, man, you know what? I would just say this. There's no such thing as a perfect church because there aren't perfect people. And so what you have to do is you have to decide, you know what? There's a lot of areas where people can have a diversity of opinion, but don't make mountains out of molehills. That's a way the enemy wants to sidetrack you. Don't forfeit the peace of God because you got a preference that you made too much of. Are you with me on that? It's good for us to be in the presence of the Lord. If you need the peace of the Lord to a greater measure in your heart and your life, if you've kind of gotten, you know, found yourself worried about things, anxious about things, it's good to come into the altar and just present your request with thanksgiving. Say, God, I need you to do this, and I just thank you, you're going to do it. You just be with him, and Lord, let your peace cover my heart and mind. Or if you're saying, you know what, John, man, my life, I messed up on a few things. Come into the altar. Make it right with the Lord. Seek him. Repent. And let his peace fill your heart and mind, and you can leave knowing he's right there. He's right with you. And you'll rest in a wonderful way with the peace and the presence of the Lord on your heart.